Psalm 23, and looking at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We've seen that this life is a life lived in relation to the Lord. First of all, we have the being of God, the Lord. We have the person of God. The Lord is my shepherd, which we also see that there's a connection between God and ourselves, and we've already spent plenty of time on those. We see there's also an awareness of the care, personal care of God. The Lord is my shepherd. And concerning the care of God, He has green pastures. He has still waters. He has paths of righteousness. He has a rod and a staff. He has a table. And God, in His care, uses these things for our benefit. We see that as you read through the psalm, He maketh, He leadeth, He restoreth, He prepares, and He anoints. And all of that speaks, of course, of the Lord's care for us. The Lord's care is mentioned specifically throughout the Word of God, but it's also pictured in many different ways. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 11, if we turn there, we see it's pictured as an eagle caring for her young in Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. There's several verbs in this verse that indicate the Lord's care. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, the Lord does that. Fluttereth, there's stirreth. Fluttereth over her young, spreadeth, so stirreth, fluttereth, spreadeth, brought her wings, taketh them, there's another verb, taketh, beareth them on her wings. And all of that, again, speaks of God's care for His people. Also in Psalm 103 and verse 13, the Lord cares for His people as a father pitieth His children. And then, of course, it's plainly stated in 1 Peter 5, in verse 7, we're to cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. There's an act, careth. There's a performer of the act, of course. That's He, Him. And there's a recipient of the act, which of course is the you. He careth for you. And as we look at our life, you cannot help but see the Lord's care. And the Lord's care is a declaration of His interest in us, a declaration of His willingness toward us, a declaration of His availability to us, and His thoughtfulness of us. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, we see His interest. His interest in us, which of course speaks loud and clear of God's mercy, His grace, that He is interested in us. In verses 25 through 30, He says, "Take," this is Jesus speaking, "take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink." Those are things, of course, that cause much anxiety. "Nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" So you have two things there. Life and the body. Life and the body. And the Lord takes care of both. Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Believe it or not, I know everybody here does, but there are many people today, a human being is worth more than a bird. Believe it or not. And that's plainly stated here. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more, clothe you, O ye of little faith? Man's worth more than a plant also. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And those verses speak of God's providing care. And we see that all through Psalm 23. God's providing care. God makes provision for life. God makes provision for body. We have to live life in these bodies. And God makes provision for both. How does he do that? Well, he does it as only he can. He does it, first of all, by ordering the most minute of details. Notice in Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 in verse 30. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. That's God's sovereignty. Not a single sparrow falls to the ground without God causing it, knowing it. But the very hairs of your head, now that's minute. The hairs of your head are all numbered. God takes care of the most minute details. And if we've pointed out before, that verse says much more than God knows the number of the hairs in your head. Yes, he does. But that verse says more than that. It says that our hairs are numbered. Now, to me, that's different than knowing how many. Numbered means hair number one, hair number five, hair number seven. He knows the number of each one, just like he knows the name of each star. God takes care of the most minute of details. And when we read that the Lord is our shepherd, he takes care of the most minute details. He doesn't just take care of the major things. He takes care of the minute details. He cares for us. He provides for us by ruling the elements. We sang a song this morning concerning that. God rules the elements. He rules everything. And that's part of his care for us. Notice in Job chapter 37. Job chapter 37. And again, reading with verse 9. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God frost is given, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering he wearieth the thick cloud, he scattereth his bright cloud, and is turned about by his counsels, that they, these things that he's been talking about, may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether it be for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. God does these things for the care of his people. In Isaiah chapter 50, and in other words, when you see the sun rise or you see the sun go down, that is part of God's care for His people. And you observe that all through creation. Again, God doesn't just do these things for something to do. He does these things to care for you and I. In Isaiah 50 and verse 2, "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst." And again, he does all of these things, as you read on, to care for his people. God also cares for his people by overruling and defeating the wicked designs of creation, of humanity. God overrules these things, and he does so for us. He does so for his glory, but he does so for us. This is perhaps no better exemplified than in Joseph. Notice in Genesis chapter 45, Genesis chapter 45, and we'll read verses 5 through 7. "Now therefore," this is Joseph speaking to his brethren, "be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." That's God's care. "For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you." This is God caring for the brothers of Joseph who did so wickedly to Joseph. "And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Notice in Genesis 50, and this is a wonderful verse we're familiar with, "but it has for you," this is again him speaking to his brothers, "ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." But God meant it unto good, "to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." God caused something bad to happen in order to save people. God does that. And there's no need to question why God does certain things. He does so because he cares for his people. And we may never know exactly why God did such and such. But we do know Romans 8:28, "For again, all things work together for the good to them that love God." So he cares for us by defeating wicked designs. Again, if God didn't defeat wicked designs, none of us would be here. But God defeats wicked designs. He does the miraculous. God cares for his people. He does miraculous things. Again, Matthew 6:32, "Your heavenly Father knoweth." His knowledge of us is distinct. His knowledge of us is infallible. It's immutable. He knows. Psalm 115 and verse 12. Psalm 115 and verse 12. We see that the Lord is mindful. He's mindful of us. "The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us." And again, it's an amazing thing that God would be mindful of you and I. So the psalmist states God's care. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he sums his care up with those words, "I shall not want." And that again is David's summary of God's providential care. So you have a word picture that's being painted in the very first verse of Psalm 23. "And I shall not want," which is a picture of a stillness before God. It's a picture of calm before God, because the writer, David, in this case, knows that God has cared for him up to this point of the writing and will continue to do so. And you and I know the same thing. And notice, he's certain of this care. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There is certainty in those words. And then down in verse 6, we see another word of certainty. Surely. Surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And then there's another word of certainty. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So he's absolutely certain of God's watchful care. He's absolutely certain of God's provision because of who the Lord is. It's not based upon who the psalmist is. It's based upon who the Lord is. The Lord is my shepherd. So it's based upon who the Lord is. It's based upon the fact that he is the shepherd. He's an immortal shepherd. He's almighty. He's all-knowing. And on we can go. And therefore, the psalmist is very, very secure in the care of the shepherd. And so it is with you and I. We ought to be very certain. And we can live that way. We can live in the absolute certainty. God is going to take care of me. No matter what happens, God is going to take care of me. Now, he may not take care of me the way I had it figured out, but God is going to take care of me. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of his people. We see also here there's an awareness of God's blessing. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's recognizing that God has blessed him. He's recognizing that God will continue to bless him. Psalm 68, verse 19, the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Benefits, not deserts, not what we merit, but he gives us benefits. The things which are to our advantage. The quantity of these is that he loadeth us with benefits. And that's true for all of us. No doubt some are more blessed than others. There's no question about that. Some are more blessed with health than others, and on we could go. But every single individual is loaded with benefits. God pours his blessings down upon people, whether lost or saved. He blesses the wicked. He blesses the righteous. He especially blesses his people. And as you read the 23rd Psalm, it seems to me that David is, it's a psalm that is exalting and honoring God for God's blessing. But not just for God's blessing, but for who God is. The Lord is my shepherd. And as you read this 23rd Psalm, you can almost picture the writer David bowing before God as he writes a psalm, praising the Lord as he writes a psalm. And that's what it is to live in this psalm. It's a life of exalting God. It's a life of honoring God. It's a life of bowing to God. It's a life of praising God. And the more we do those things, the more enjoyable life is. The more we learn to bow to God, the more enjoyable our life will be. Your life is not going to be enjoyable fighting a battle you can't win. Fighting against God, you're not going to win that battle. And you're going to be miserable. The best way to be happy is to bow to God and praise him and exalt him and honor him. So it's a life of living in the reality of the continual blessings of God. I know God is going to bless me. What do I base that on? First of all, I base that upon who he is. Who he is. That's a solid foundation. I don't need anything else. We base it upon what He has said. He's promised. We base it upon the past. God has always cared. So is He going to stop? No. So we live in the reality of the continual blessings of God. And when we live in the reality of the continual blessings of God, life is really pretty exciting. Because it's like, I wonder what God's going to do today in my life. Wonder what He's going to do today. And we get we find ourselves in bind sometime. We find ourselves in what we perceive as impossible situations. We need to look at those things and almost get excited and think, well, I wonder what God's going to do in this situation. Have more bills and have money. Wonder what God is going to do. Sickness, whatever. Doesn't matter. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank You, Lord, for Your care. We thank You, God, for who You are. We thank You that You care for us every second of every single day, that You watch over us, that You provide for us in ways that we don't even know about. Lord, we just thank You for being our God. We thank You for who You are. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us to worship You. Help us, Lord, to honor You in all that we say and all that we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.